The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
That 8-for-12, 6 RBIs. Look at him stand there and admire it right now. The Hogs are on fire and the fans are going crazy.
And what a night it was for a lot of schools, especially the number one team in the country, Homer. And a tough series, but the Razorbacks move on to the Super Regionals to take on NC State. Two wins from Omaha, where, remember, a couple of years ago, they nearly won it all. Remember a couple of months ago when some LSU fans were unhappy with Paul Menieri? Not anymore. He announced his retirement 2 weeks ago, and the Tigers are still alive. They went as far away as you can go and won, and now they get to come back a little closer to home for the Super Regional. This is what it looks like. Arkansas, NC State, Texas, South Florida, Tennessee and LSU, Vandy, East Carolina, Arizona, Ole Miss. That's a good one right there. Dallas Baptist versus Virginia, Mississippi State, Notre Dame, and Texas Tech and Stanford. And 8 of those schools will make it to Omaha. Of course, that begins a week from this Saturday. We still have a long way to go. So it's really been an amazing time, but we have some even more interesting news for you. We've been talking about this for months, and now it could be happening. Pete Thamel of Yahoo breaking this story early today. A 12-team model, 12 teams, seems to be leading the way. We thought it would be a miracle to get to 6 or 8. It looks like the powers that be are looking for a much bigger piece of the pie here. So we'll get some reaction from Pete, many other people, but these the gentlemen that will make these decisions will meet in about a week, and it looks like, according to Pete, 12 is going to be the number that they land on. So we will talk to Pete in a couple of minutes, as I mentioned, and how about this one? Interview with Alan Blinder of the New York Times. Larry Scott, the defrocked Pac-12 commissioner. Oh, now he's speaking up. Where you been, Larry? He urges a bigger playoff and a more responsible NCAA. When questioned on his level of confidence for Mark Emmert, he said, I like Mark. Don't we all? Meanwhile, Bama and Oklahoma State, you don't see them play very often, but they will play a couple years from now. And I'm sure when they play at the end of 28 and 29, Nick Saban will just have been extended for another 10 years. So I think Saban may have a better shot of being at that those two games than Mike Gundy. Okay, so this is where we are here on what shapes up to be a pretty exciting Tuesday afternoon. This is not normally an exciting time of the year, but it is right now. Keith Carter is the AD at Ole Miss. He'll join us in about 30 minutes with our friend Jim Caval talking about NIL and a couple of other things. Taquio Spikes, one of the great names in Auburn history. Played with the Bills. And Pete Thamel, who broke the biggest story of the day, will join us in about 2 hours. A lot to unpack here today. And, of course, congratulations to the Alabama women on a tremendous season. It ended last night in Oklahoma City. We will continue with your phone calls right now at 855-242-7285. And Diane starts us off in Birmingham. Hello, Diane.
It's Dane, Paul.
Dane, I'm sorry.
No problem, Paul.
I'm going to need a seeing eye dog pretty soon, the way I pick up these names.
Oh, no worries, Paul. How are you doing?
Dane, we are doing great. Thank you very much.
It was great to be on today. First-time caller, been listening to you for years. You know, I want to speak on behalf of Bama Nation today because so much so much pain going through. I'm not sure how big of a softball fan you are, but all these years that we've been in the Women's College World Series, only one championship, and, you know, a lot of people are putting some of the backlash on Patrick Murphy, the head coach. I'm not sure how familiar you are with
I know Coach Murphy very well.
Yeah, well, you know, it's an issue for me because every year, year in and year out, I watch Patrick Murphy get us there, and we just can't win it all, man. And it's frustrating, and on behalf of Bama Nation, I feel like I'm speaking on behalf of a lot of fans.
Hey, let me ask you a question, Dane. Hey, hold on a second. What would you have done differently last night? Would you have started a different pitcher?
Well, yeah, that was the context of the story, sort of, because, you know, 2 years ago, 2019, you had Montana Fout as a freshman, and, you know, we did some musical chairs with the pitchers, and we couldn't win it in 2019.
So Dane, hold on a second. Are you suggesting that she should have gone on Sunday?
I'm getting there, Paul. I'm getting there.
Okay.
I'm getting there. So in 2019, he's saving her arm, okay? So that's what we have to hear. So for 2 years, ironically, we have the COVID season where we don't play, and we get back this year. Her arm is saved. She gets a rest Friday night, 90 pitches. She's 21 years old on Friday night, Paul. 90 pitches, throws a perfect game. And what's her reward? A seat on the bench on Sunday evening. If it were me, I'd pitch Lexi in the first game of the championship if Montana beats Florida State in game one. I think that would have been a much better idea rather than, you know, you play to win the game, Paul. You play to get to the championship, and you play to win.
Well, listen, I appreciate your call, and I understand your frustration, but I will tell you this. I've known Coach Murphy for a long time, and while certainly when you have a great team, you're open to conversation, but I think he made the exact right move. I think he gave the best pitcher in the country an extra day to recover, not only from pitching, which I'm sure she could have gone Sunday, but just from all the attention, the fact that, you know, she had done something that nobody had done in 20 years. So it was unfortunate. It's part of sports. The pitcher from JMU was nearly perfect until she got lit up by Oklahoma. I mean, I understand when you lose, it's frustrating. But to suggest that Patrick Murphy has only won one championship, when you consider the prestige that he has brought to that program, the facilities that he has brought, and the quality of athletes and citizens that he has brought, then I'm not really overly sympathetic to your vitriol, but thanks for the call anyway. Let's check in with Pat up next in Georgia. Hey, Pat, go right ahead.
Thanks, Paul. I heard Greeny interview you this morning on Get Up, and if I may, I've got a couple of more questions for you.
Sure.
Did Alabama initiate the extension, or did Nick's agent?
I am almost certain that it was Alabama.
He has a substantially large buyout. I guess nobody.
I don't think. Now listen, I haven't seen the contract lately, but a couple of years ago, he did not have a buyout.
Oh, okay. Well, Nick, he can coach it out. This sets Nick up for coaching the next 8 seasons, and you're of the opinion that he'll probably get 3 more national championships. So Saban can coach at Alabama about as long as he wants to, and
Pat, let me answer. I was asked a question and I gave an answer doing the math. Now you and I both know that, you know, 70 to 77 is not quite the same as 60 to 67. And, you know, I'm not suggesting anything, and you may be in perfect health today, and tomorrow something could go wrong. I mean, I'm as aware of the frailties of health as you are. And I think that's ultimately going to determine, part of this equation. Does Nick Saban remain healthy to a point where this is what he enjoys doing The second part of this has always been, you know, what other mitigating circumstances could arise? And I've always felt it would be something small that led Nick Saban away from Alabama. It wouldn't be one of the big ticket items. And so far he has, you know, he's been there a lot longer than anyone thought he would be there, including myself.
Well, I happen to agree with your prediction. I think that he will get three more national championships. I think that, and it doesn't necessarily, as long as he's the head coach, his staff, his coaches, I mean, they're two and three deep, and they have the best expertise and all they want, just like they're three deep in all the positions on the team.
And, no, but Pat, let me say this. That's what I think today. But the one thing that Nick Saban has not had to deal with is a lot of noise, if you follow me. And nor has he had to suffer through a bad season. And when I mean a bad season at Alabama, as you well know, is not winning the national championship. That is enormous pressure. He's dealt with it brilliantly, and he's come back from every disappointment. But, you know, there are a lot of guns aimed at him right now. And when that first crack shows, assuming it does, and I've seen it with Bryant, Paterno, Bowden, I'm not saying it will happen with him, but I'm saying it can happen.
Well, yes, anything can happen. I don't think Georgia's going to win a national championship until Nick Saban retires.
Well, I completely disagree with you. I think Georgia will win a national championship.
Before Saban
I don't
retires?
Think Nick. I really don't think Nick Saban is going to get in their way. When Georgia has the team that let me can I rephrase my sentence? Georgia
sure.
will win a national championship not dependent on Nick Saban, but Georgia will win a national championship when Mike Griffith says they're ready to win one. We'll take a break. Back with more. Your phone calls included here at 855-2. But yesterday I couldn't tell what he was talking about. 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We welcome all of you back. We'll go to Oxford in a couple of minutes. Right now, Ron is in Kentucky. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Paul. It's been a while since I've talked with you. What is your opinion about in football, UK winding up in the middle of the pack this year?
I frankly think they're going to make a bit of a run, Ron. I think, as I've said a few times, and others have as well, the Florida game is key. They have to beat Florida at home if they are going to make a serious run. But I think that's possible, depending on how things fall. I really like where the game is, and I think it's going to be a big year. The schedule not particularly difficult. When you look at non-conference games, I think there are four reasonably good wins there: Monroe, Chattanooga, New Mexico State, and Louisville. And then, you know, where do you go for more wins? Can you win at South Carolina? Maybe, probably. Can you win at Mississippi State? Maybe. Tennessee at home, Vanderbilt on the road. I mean, I think the season really comes down to Florida and LSU at home. Missouri is going to be a tough game, but I think Kentucky can win that at home. So I think if Kentucky can you know, get through that Florida LSU stretch with, you know, maybe a split. I think it's a big year.
Well, I certainly think that Stoops has gone about it in the right way.
I agree with you. I think he has done a fantastic job of building that program, and he had leadership with Mitch Barnhart and Dr. Capiluta, who showed restraint when others were yelling, and now I think he's getting a lot of residual off of that investment.
Well, I still enjoy listening to you, Paul. Thank you for your time.
Ryan, you be well. We'll talk soon. Thank you very, very, very much. How about Sean up next? Hey, Sean, good afternoon. John, you there? Hey there. Good afternoon.
Yeah. Hey, how are you doing?
We are very well. Thanks a lot.
I was just wondering, I was going to talk a little Georgia. I know you're probably tired of hearing about Georgia a little bit, but did you hear the story? Of course, Mike Griffin wrote it. It was yesterday about the quarterback from Clemson, DJ. I can't pronounce his last name. U something another. Dad. Big Dave had toured Georgia's facilities with his other son, Rick. I think it's Rico, and then a nephew of his. Have you heard anything about that?
I have not, but I'll go back and read it, Sean.
Yeah, Mike wrote it, and anyway, and I was just going to ask you about the guys that have come in on that transfer portal. Was one of those a tied in from somebody?
Yeah, you know, again, they have not made that public yet. I mean, it's been reported, but one was a tight end from LSU, and the other one was a DB from Clemson.
Was there an Alabama guy that was coming and then decided not to come, or?
That I don't know. I mean, I follow recruiting, but I'm not like I don't wake up in the morning and see. The latest. I depend on others for that.
Okay. Yeah. You got other things going on. As far as the win total this year, and then we kind of went over before, the only potential loss before the SEC championship is Clemson. Is that right?
That's how I see it, yes.
That's the only potential. Okay. Well, Paul, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for taking my call.
You take care of yourself. Let's check in with John, who is up next in Arkansas. Hey, John. John, you there? Maybe not. How about Dan is in Louisiana. Hello, Dan.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call,
as always. You bet.
Paul, I'd like to talk about three things. I guess you can pick which one first. Recruiting. In football, or the Tennessee matchup in baseball, or Saban. Did I hear right, 2028, 29? Is this, did I hear right?
You heard right. Now, the news has made it. How do you react to that news, Dan?
Well, it's like it always is for the Tigers. You got to beat Bama, you know?
Yeah, I saw where Alabama got a commitment from a running back in Baton Rouge.
No, I didn't hear that.
Yeah. Not surprised that didn't make the local talk shows in Louisiana.
Huh. Well, LSU was third in recruiting.
Yeah, who was first?
And LSU is going to...
Hey, Dan, who was first?
Georgia.
Try Alabama.
Alabama was first?
Yeah.
Barely or by a good margin?
By a country mile.
Oh, come on.
Dan, Alabama had the best recruiting year perhaps in history a couple of months ago.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that.
Well, I don't know how you missed it, but I'm glad you have now heard it. You take care of yourself, okay, Dan? Let's continue.
Okay.
Dan, apparently the news does not get through some places in Louisiana. How about Dave in Jackson, Mississippi? Hello, Dave.
Hello, Paul, what do you think about the Texas A&M baseball hire?
I must have missed it. Did it happen today or recently?
I think it did. Okay. I was just wondering why you haven't said anything about it yet.
Well, I just told you. I didn't realize it happened, but I will dig in. I mean, I knew. They caught me by surprise. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, that's all I have to ask. I was just going to ask that. I was trying to get.
How do you feel? What is your thoughts on it? Have you?
There is absolutely no excuse for not having a good baseball team in the state of Texas. There's 27 million people that live in Texas, and there's no excuse for not having a good baseball team at Texas A&M.
Well, I agree with you on that. To me, you've got great facilities out there. You've got great everything, and right now, baseball is such a competitive. It's such a competitive environment, forget just Texas, but in the SEC. And if your program isn't progressing, you're in big trouble. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We're heading to Oxford, where they have a pretty good baseball program. We'll talk about that and some other things when we come back right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Just what I wanted to call. He had 40 national championships. Of course, some were from when we were in the Southwest Conference. But he created a dynasty, and I know it's track and field, and it's not as popular as
No. I'm glad you mentioned it.
Yeah. But he was, he made something out of nothing, and the passing of him, I just...
Yeah, Bobby, I'm glad you said that because I grew up a big track and field fan, and for anyone who, his name resonates greatness across this country, if not the world, because of the international influence that he had. But when I saw the number of titles, national championships, and SEC and Southwest Conference, I mean, it's extraordinary to think about what he did and left behind. I'm so glad you brought him up.
Thank you, God bless. Hopefully, have a keep going in track. Thanks.
Thank you, Bobby. Yeah, Coach McDonald left a legacy that, quite frankly, will be unmatched. I mean, it's impossible to think that anyone could ever come close to his accomplishments. So, we are going to continue taking phone calls here, and Eddie is up next. Hello, Eddie. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, man. So, as usual, what I wanted to say when I called yesterday, I think this was a great move by Alabama and Nick, because, hey, Paul, here's the deal. Nobody can beat him in recruiting right now. He knows that. And he knows that the way probably other coaches are going to come at him is using his age and the fact that he's going to be retiring soon as leverage probably to get some of these top recruits from him. But hey, I know you talked about that running back we just recruited out of Louisiana. But Paul, check this out. University of Alabama had the best recruiting class, rated recruiting class ever. And if you think about it, Paul, it's not even over. It's one big fish out there, Paul. You know that, right?
You're talking about the lineman?
Yeah, I'm talking about the kid TJ from Washington.
Yeah, he's either the number one or two player in the country, and yeah. I have a feeling Eddie, they're going to get him too, based on what I'm hearing.
Hey, Paul, here's the deal. Hey, he's the number one guy in the country, right? And he has five teams recruiting him. And guess who he left for last? The last visit, Paul.
Alabama.
Alabama. All right. So, hey, another thing. You had this caller yesterday called from Miami. I guess he's working a steel plant, but he must not be wearing a helmet when he's in the steel plant, predicting Miami to beat Alabama. But here's the deal. Alabama always start off with tough opponents, Paul. Miami's not used to that. And Miami, before they can even think about Alabama, they need to think about North Carolina and Clemson. Those are their measuring sticks. And from what I've seen, Paul, they don't measure up. Roll damn tide.
Thanks, Eddie. Appreciate it. Let's continue with Alan up next. Go right ahead, Alan.
Paul.
Yes, good
nice
afternoon.
Nice to talk with you.
Thank you so much.
Hey, I just would like to know your gut feelings on Shane Beamer's hire at University of South Carolina, and what do you think he's going to do?
Well, my gut feeling is it was a really exciting hire. What he's going to do is going to take time, Alan. I don't think he has enough on that roster to make a big impact this year. So it's going to come down to how well can he recruit. I think he can recruit pretty well.
Right.
But
I do as well, and I think all the Carolina fans need to be very patient.
Well, first of all, you always have to say, is the program better off today than it was a year ago? It is. And, you know, this is not to disparage Will Muschamp, but it wasn't a very good hire to begin with. And I think they, you know, everyone just hoped that somehow Will Muschamp would start displaying coaching acumen that he, quite frankly, has never shown as a head coach. He's a great coordinator, and that's what he should be doing. He shouldn't be a head coach. We will take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We will head to Mississippi in a moment, and we can't wait to talk to the athletic director at Ole Miss.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And welcome back. It's great to have all of you with us on a Tuesday afternoon. We're heading to Oxford, where Keith Carter, the athletic director at Ole Miss, is joining us, as well as our friend Jim Caval, who we've had numerous conversations about name, image, and likeness. First of all, guys, thanks so much. And Keith, I know it was a busy and crazy weekend in baseball, and the march continues. I know everybody on campus is pretty excited about the Rebels.
Yeah, absolutely, Paul. Thanks for having us this afternoon. It was wild. We were able to get it in yesterday with the rain coming through, and thankfully we did, because today we've got a monsoon in Oxford. But really excited about the team and ready to head to Tucson.
No doubt. There's so many great stories there. But and I want to talk, because we had Jim on the other day, and we talked to Jim throughout this buildup to NIL. And, you know, Jim, help us better understand, as you have told us in the past, you being in Oxford today, the conversations that are going on, and hopefully, where are we on all these issues?
Well, I mean, first off, we have been working with Ole Miss since the beginning of Influencer in 2017. They're one of our first partners. They were the first school to actually provide Influencer to all of their student athletes, all their sports. And so we have a strong relationship here. And although we work with more than 100 schools, this was a place we want to make sure we came to as a team and spent some time with leadership, coaches, student athletes for the day to ensure that they have all the new technology we've built to help student athletes with education around NIL and even the disclosure process that they're going to need to follow to be legislatively within the Mississippi law on NIL. And we've been doing that today, and it's been a lot of fun. So that's why we're here, and it's part of a launching NIL tour we're doing to select influencer partners that we have strong relationships with, like Ole Miss.
And Keith, I'm curious because we may have talked about this the last time, but it was about a year ago when you and Commissioner Sankey and other leaders in intercollegiate athletics appeared in front of the Senate, I believe, or in Washington, D.C., to talk about these issues and others. And so you got a pretty good view of what Congress was thinking about, and now we're getting pretty close to it. Your thoughts on this journey to enacting this legislation, however we're going to do it?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to believe that we're about 3 weeks away. You know, here in Mississippi on July 1, the law will go into effect. And, you know, as you mentioned, it was last July that we really started paying very close attention to this topic. And I was fortunate enough to go to Capitol Hill and sit in front of the hearing there and talk about this. And Jim and I were talking about earlier this morning, you know, we wanted to make sure that we were going to partner with someone that could really help us through this process. And, you know, he and his team have done a fantastic job of you know, being there for us, being a resource, and being cutting edge and first movers in this space. So very excited about the relationship and where we can take it.
Well, let me ask you, Keith, because Jim has given us a broad view in the conversations we've had, but how does it work now, assuming that we turn this clock ahead a couple of weeks and things are, you know, enacted, and I know in Mississippi it already has, or will go into effect, but how does it look from your perspective and your staff's perspective on campus?
Well, you know, again, there's some trial and error. There's some moving parts we're going to have to work through. Things are going to evolve and change. But, you know, obviously on July 1st, you know, in our state, our student athletes can take advantage of their name, image, and likeness. So working with Jim and his team and using the app that they've created, you know, we're hoping that our student athletes will have an opportunity to pursue, you know, those opportunities. And certainly we're all for that. So I think our state did a great job of being, again, first thinkers and first movers in this space. And, you know, our student athletes are going to be able to reap those rewards. So we're excited about it. But, you know, knowing that we're going to have to learn and learn as we go, and there will be a little bit of a learning curve. But this is the space we're in, and we're ready for it.
Keith, I know it's a loaded question to ask what your biggest concerns are because this is only a four-hour show, but in all seriousness, I'm sure, you know, in all candor, these are some pretty serious issues that we have never dealt with before, especially people in administrative and compliance roles. How do you prioritize what's the most important thing to keep your eyes on?
Well, that's a great question. And yeah, there's been some waking up in the middle of the night thinking about this. And, you know, it's one of those things where we're certainly all for this. We think that our student athletes need to have this opportunity as a normal student would, as any of us would. But yes, there are some concerns. And I think, you know, for us, we want to monitor it. We want to put those procedures in place and make sure that, you know, we're doing the right things there. But, you know, Paul, I think the thing that we're going to learn is that this is going to change. You know, things are going to evolve. We're going to have to make sure we're working in real time, and as things change, we're going to have to change with those things. So it's a very complex and layered topic. And so I think, you know, if we're looking at this 2 years down the road, we're going to have data to look back on. But right now, we don't have that. So we're going to have to make sure we're just right there trying to stay in front of it and being a resource for our student athletes. But certainly, you know, you want to do it the right way. You don't want to look up in 6 months and be in a bad spot because you didn't have the right protocols and procedures in place. So that's what we're working on now, and we'll be ready for that.
And Jim, as you talk to people in Oxford and many other places, I'm sure these are issues and questions that you've already encountered. So how do you put your friends around not only Oxford but around the country at ease with these big question marks that are coming up very quickly?
Well, I think it's pushing leadership, coaching staffs, even student athletes to go all in on what they can control and what they can do now, without letting the unknowns paralyze them. And so it's a game of progressions, and you can't have all the answers on what kind of deals are gonna happen, how big will those deals be, and talk to recruits about those, because none of that's happened yet. Next year after, those will be some things you can actually talk about, as Keith said, with data And our system's going to be able to showcase that data. But right now, building student-athlete brands, showing a basketball student-athlete, we talked about this with Kermit and his staff, a basketball student-athlete that is potentially going to go to the G League for a couple $100,000 and play in Sioux Falls, why playing in the SEC is going to have a much greater impact on their brand, why playing in the SEC is going to help them grow their social media following this much more during that 1 year so that they can realize that brand potential with now their NIL during college and when they become a pro, that's a big opportunity. And so building student-athlete brands, showcasing the brands that have already been built here, what do student-athletes show up with a following? What do they leave with here in Oxford? That's a powerful story to tell. Educating student-athletes around financial literacy, setting up their entity, tax compliance, what it's like to be a pro athlete and how pro athletes do this so that they can understand how to apply it to college is super important. And then giving them a way to transact and disclose transactions so that they can comply. They have to stay safe here. And we have to do everything we can to oversee their transactional activity to keep them safe. And so tech is at the center of this. And that's what we're helping them do here at Ole Miss and across the country. But it's like everything else. You get out what you put in. They're not just going to be a flip of a switch and all of a sudden everybody's going to make a bunch of money. It's going to take putting time into this and embracing it. That's what Ole Miss is doing.
Talking to Jim Cabell and Keith Carter, of course, the athletic director at Ole Miss. Keith, I want to talk about something that we hear a lot here, and that's a lot of people like you who are great athletes from a different era who just are struggling with trying to digest all this. And I know during your heyday, the idea that you could have profited, I'm sure may not have gone down well with your parents and elders. But how are you dealing with that part of the equation? It's not involving athletes, but involving your constituents, your fans, your alumni.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, it's about education. You know, it's about talking to them about our student athletes and what we should do for them, the resources that they need and deserve. I think if you look back, certainly you mentioned my era, and I like the way you put that a few years ago. Things have changed a lot, and I think for the better for our student athletes. And that's a great thing. But we want to continue to push and do everything we can to help them, to give them the resources that they need. To make sure that, again, they can get the same opportunities that a normal student could get. You know, that's really where I land on this. You know, I'm certainly not a pay-for-play guy. I'm not one of these people that think we need to totally change our model and get away from amateurism. But certainly we need to give them the opportunities that others have. And I think we can get there. I think we've got a great plan with Jim and his team to really promote that and make sure that they're in the best possible scenario. So, again, I think it's about education. And we've had a lot of those. I've had so many conversations with donors and coaches and whoever that may be, just talking about where we're going. And to be honest, you know, this is going to change our industry maybe more than anything in the last 25, 30 years. But we're prepared for it, and we think it's the right thing to do.
We just have another minute or so left. Jim, I'm particularly curious on the education front, because you mentioned Kermit Davis and other coaches. What type of questions, or what is the question that you're getting the most as you travel around the country?
I think the biggest question that I'm getting is, how can I communicate around the NIL topic compliantly? And how can I make sure that my current student athletes maximize their potential with their NIL, but compliantly? I think coaches and leadership that have their mind in the right place are thinking about how they can ensure that this is a transparent process, that bad actors are not allowed in, that student athletes can realize new value without compromising their integrity and the integrity of the program they represent. And I think that there are some great intentions that coaches have with recruiting and with current student athletes, but they want to make sure they don't overstep their bounds. And so helping them see the things that they can do regardless of whatever rules they may have to adhere to is really important. And that's what we're trying to do, and that's what we've built our tech to help them do. But, you know, there are going to be folks who are just going to promise the world to a student athlete in this category. It's just going to happen. It's just like promising playing time. And so it's just the reality of this.
Jim Cabell and Keith Carter, the Ole Miss athletic director, thank you both very, very much. We'll leave it here and continue this conversation in the near future. We have uncovered a lot of ground already today, and we're not done yet. Akio spikes in the next hour.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.